Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Jennifer Zamparelli, 2FM. Good morning. According to a recent report, Ireland has the third highest rate of cocaine use in Europe. Just let that sink in for a second. There's a growing concern over the extraordinary amount of young people using the drug. And one of those young people was Conor Harris. Conor is on the line to have a little chat with myself. Conor, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Jen. How are you?
I'm grand. Listen, thanks so much for doing this. I think you're phenomenal for speaking out about this and all that you've been through. I suppose, Conor, we should really just start at the beginning. What sort of a teenager were you before fifth year?
Yeah, so like I was pretty normal. Like I was a normal teenager. I was very big into football. You know, I used to play football for Kildare. And, you know, the highlight of my childhood was playing football. You know, it was the biggest part of me. But, you know, I always struggled with my head since I was very young. You know, before I ever started taking drugs, before I ever started drinking, I would have really had a problem with my head and how I looked at life and how I thought the world looked at me, and that led me feeling, you know, unwanted and all that type of stuff. And, you know, before I ever started using it, I self-harmed a lot when I was younger, like 13, 14 years of age. I was really, really not well in my head, you know. I couldn't deal with myself, you know. I projected myself to be this good, happy person every day going into school, but, you know, really I was sore and dying on the inside, if that makes sense.
So you're 17 years old, you're playing football, you're trying to get through life, you're probably bottling it all up yourself of what you're going through. But how did you start taking cocaine? How did that happen?
So when the first time I ever took it was at graduation. So I was in fifth year and I was at the sixth year graduation, because going up through school, I would have always been playing football. We'd be all, like, always on the team of football. So I would have been there with all the older people, you know, a lot of the time because of football. And I just went one night because one of the lads said to me about going, and that was fine. And I was there and, you know, I was drinking, and obviously I was quite drunk. And then, you know, a friend of mine I know had it, and I was like, let me try it. And it was pure out of just experimentation, you know. I just said, you know what, I'll do it, I'll try it. And, you know, straight away, I fell in love with it. I was like, Jesus, I want more. And, you know, that night, my very first night of doing it resulted in me getting kicked out of the place where the graduation was and not being allowed back in. And straight away, there was a connection there between me and the drug that was going to lead me to bad places if I didn't, you know, watch what I was doing or if I didn't stop taking this.
Would you say a lot of teenagers between 17 and 18 try cocaine, in your opinion?
Absolutely. I would be surprised if someone between 17 and 18 hasn't tried it. Even 17, 18. From the age of 15 and 16, you know, I'd be very surprised if people from, you know, 15, 16 upwards, I'd be surprised if they haven't tried this drug yet. And that's been genuinely honest.
So, Conor, you're 17, you try this drug, you fall in love instantly, which leads me to believe you became a bit of an addict, you know, from the get-go. Is this what happened? Was this something that you started doing recreationally or, you know, every weekend? How did it spiral?
Yeah, so it didn't spiral out of control straight away. You know, that summer I was only, you know, I was taking the weekends and I was just going out during the week, or going out on weekends, you know, it'd be Friday night and then it creeped into Friday, Saturday night. And then, you know, sixth year, my final year of school came, and you know, you'd catch me sneaking out of my house during the week to go to college parties because there was a college only up the road from where I live. And you'd catch me using Friday, Saturday and Sunday, and then not being in a good way, going to work or going to school on a Monday. And, you know, this happened continuously throughout the year. And then, you know, when my leaving cert exams came around, I'd been, you know, selling drugs. I'd been using every weekend. And then I'd been using during the week because of going to college parties, but then I'd end up using during my leaving cert. You know, I wasn't even doing it going to parties anymore before school had ended. I was just doing it.
So now there's a problem. So did you say you had to sell drugs to fund it? Because it's an expensive habit for anyone to have, especially a 17, 18-year-old.
Yeah, exactly. Like, because I was selling it, and obviously, you know, the star, it's the champagne lifestyle, and you're making a bit of money, and you're going wherever you want, and you're doing whatever you want, and you're buying all the nice clothes. Well, that was only a glimpse of what I had, because very, very quickly my life got destroyed, you know.
You went on a Leave and Cert holiday to Croatia. What was that like?
Yeah, so, you know, Leave and Cert holiday is obviously meant to be, you know, the holiday, as they say, it's meant to be the best one. But for me, it was a disaster, you know. That was when, you know, I used absolutely every day. We were there for 10 days and I used every day. I used on the way to the airport, I was using. As soon as we got off the plane, I was using. And, you know, I didn't sleep for nearly 5 days. And, you know, I had a bad event on the fifth day when I was getting the bus up. You know, I felt like I was suffering psychotic events, which I have suffered before. But, you know, I had to jump off the bus and I had to run home because, you know, I was going through all these mad things in my head that everyone was looking at me and people were trying to rob me. And, you know, when I got off the bus, there was like all snakes and stuff around my feet. And I know this sounds crazy and it can sound a bit funny to people, but this is the type of crazy stuff that the drugs were doing to my head, making me believe that these people were trying to hold my hand and hold on to my bag, and everyone was looking at me, and I had to run home. And I was meant to go there to have some fun, but I really didn't. I used absolutely every day and I didn't sleep, and it ended up being a disaster. I went through nearly to go to 3,000 euro in the space of the 10 days over there.
Something happened when you were 19. Was this the turning point?
Yeah, so, you know, I'd been in and out of hospital with, you know, close calls from, you know, when I finished school, and, you know, I kept using after that. And then, you know, my using had become every day. I was using every day. I had lost numerous amount of jobs. I had a 20,000 euro bill on my head, and I had that bill on my head twice. You know, I had one through credit union loans and bank loans, and then I got another one. You know, I couldn't really take it anymore. It all got too much. You know, I was out one weekend and we were up, and I was up for 3 days straight, and I was, you know, drinking, taking drugs, hadn't eaten, and I'd lost myself. I'd completely lost who I was, and, you know, I'd lost my love for everything. I couldn't play football anymore. I couldn't go to the gym anymore. I couldn't sit down and spend a bit of time with my family, because the drugs had taken away everything from me, absolutely everything. Mother's Day, 2019, after I'd been drinking and on a heavy
bender
weekend, I was at the Liffey with all the lads after being at one of the houses. They were all like, we're going home, it's Mother's Day. And I was like, right, that's grand. And one of the guys goes, come on, you're coming home with me. And I said, no, it's okay. And he goes, no, you're coming with me. We want to make sure you're all right. And I was like, honestly, I'm just going to get a bit of sleep, and I'm going to go home and see my mom then. And, you know, totally known that wasn't my intentions, but obviously they didn't know any better. And they left. And, you know, when they left, you know, my whole world just like fell around me. I felt like everything collapsed. My mind caved in on me, and, you know, I started screaming, crying. And, you know, I always say this, nobody knows your story like you know your own story. And when I speak about this event, I get all the feelings back of how I felt that day. You know, I felt so, so alone and so lost, and I cried more than I'd ever cried in my whole entire life. And I was screaming up to the heavens, why is this happening to me? Will somebody help me? What did I ever do wrong? I only ever wanted to be a good person. And, you know, I wish my family would understand that I loved them. You know, this was the thing. I wanted them to understand that I loved them, but because of the prisoner I was to cocaine now, I couldn't show love to them. I couldn't show love to myself, never mind anyone else. And I wanted them to understand this, but I didn't know how to explain it because I couldn't express my feelings. And it was like a million things going on in my head at once. And I was just like, right, that's it. I'm putting a stop to this now. And I walked back and forward to the water, taking off a piece of clothing until I was in my boxers. And, you know, I sat there by the water about to take my own life. And someone grabbed me by the neck, pulled me along the ground, along the muck. And, you know, I turned around, and it was a good friend of mine. And, you know, I just started crying, and he started crying, and he was holding me, and I was holding myself, you know. And I couldn't believe, you know, at 19 years of age, having achieved so much, and, you know, trying my best in life, and, you know, really, really giving life a good go up until I started taking drugs, how did I get here? You know, why is this happening? What did I do wrong? At 19 years of age, you know, and that's when I believe, you know, something saved me that day. I always say I believe, you know, if he never came back for me, which he only came back for a bottle of water, I'd ask for him. I always remember him saying that, what would you do if I had never came back for this with this bottle of water? That's when I sort of knew things had to change. And even though, you know, that did happen that day, I didn't stop using. You know, I couldn't stop using. But what I did do was I took on the suggestions that the hospital gave me, because I had to be brought to hospital that day because I was in fear of taking my own life. And they spoke to me about the treatment centre and about drug counselling. And that's when I first started with my drug counselling. And I met my drug counsellor, and she was an amazing woman. And the people in the place I went to, it's the Halo U Project in Naas, they were amazing people. And they helped me and guided me through them months of me trying to get into a treatment centre. You know, it was a long, hard battle. You know, it was a long, hard battle. But I had all the support of my family and my friends. I ended up, you know, by the grace of God, getting into a treatment centre on the 17th of July 2019. And, you know, that's when my recovery journey started, and I've been sober ever since.
Connor, how long are you sober?
I am sober just over 2 years. I was 2 years sober on the 17th of July this year.
Congratulations. How is life now?
Yeah, look, life for me is amazing, but the reason it's amazing is because it's simple. You know, I don't complicate things. I get up in the morning, I do my little bit of stuff I have to do in my program. I attend fellowship meetings. I link in with people. You know, I'll be honest, I try to do my best to treat everyone the best way I can. And, you know, if I am having a bad day, I make sure I speak about it, because, you know, I was my own worst enemy for long enough. And, you know, I carried the weight of the world on my shoulders for too long. And I suddenly realised if I share a problem, it's half a problem. That's what I started to do from now on. And life gets a lot easier. You know, I really, really enjoy life today. I'm back playing football. I'm doing my apprenticeship. I'm back in the gym. And I'm just, you know, I'm just living, you know, the way I was before any of this stuff ever started. But the difference between me now is I'm not hiding anything anymore like I was back then. I was hiding how I felt and how, you know, how the world was to me. But now I don't hide anything. And I can't believe where I've came from. Mm. And, you know, to turn the tape on just over 2 years, and, you know, being out here in the fresh air, having a job, being able to pay my bills, having a beautiful girlfriend and a beautiful family, and, you know, friends especially who never turned their back on me despite everything and still accept me for who I am. That's what's very, very special to me about life now.
For anybody out there who is struggling with addiction, what would you say? You said initially it's not an easy road, and you said with the help of your family and friends and the strength within. But what would you say to anybody who's listening who is going through addiction problems?
Like, the one thing I always say is, if you haven't started, don't start, you know. And if you have and you find yourself one foot in and one foot out, and I don't really know what to do, you know, the first step is admitting that you have a problem. You know, the second step is talking to someone about that problem. And the third step is going and getting the help you need to solve that problem. And whether it be speaking to a counsellor, going to a treatment centre, attending fellowship meetings, you know,
step by step.
Yeah, exactly. It's one step at a time, and it's one phrase we use all the time is a day at a time. You know, there's been days in recovery I've had to take it a day at a time, and I've had to take it an hour at a time, because, you know, it's got tough. It hasn't been easy, but the rewards you get from this stuff are absolutely amazing, and I can't express that enough. I really, really can't. So, you know, just step by step, you know, admitting you have that problem, and everything will start to unfold after that.
Connor, congratulations on 2 years being sober. That is a phenomenal achievement. I bet you never thought that you'd be 2 years down the line, after you were sitting on by the Liffey that day, 2 years down the line, you'd be on the national airwaves telling your story to everybody and to the nation. And I would say definitely helping a lot of people out there by sharing your story. So thank you for doing that. Happy 22nd birthday, by the way.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
You're very welcome. Happy birthday.
It was great, you know, it was something simple. It was, you know, spend the day with my girlfriend, spend the day after doing a bit of work, and then that night going for a nice meal with the lads who have been there for me since the start. And that's that's all I wanted, you know. I didn't need to go out and go drinking or do anything like that. It was just something simple. It's the simple things in life that really, really, really are amazing to me.
Well, it's so great to hear, and I want to thank you again for coming on the show. Conor Harris, 22-year-old, sober, 2 years. What an amazing story, speaking to us there about his cocaine addiction. Just want to thank him again for coming on and being so honest about everything and the great advice, step by step, day by day, hour by hour. If you would like to speak with Conor, you can get in touch with him on Instagram at Conor Harris _. He's an amazing young fella. And if you've been affected by anything in our discussion and need to speak with someone, you can call the Samaritans on 116 123. We'll be right back.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.